Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Welcome back. You don't have Aaron Flint this morning, but you do have Jake Eaton and Scott Aspenlighter filling in for Aaron. So as we were talking here the last hour about, you know, just spending and what we're going to see here coming from the budget, talked a little bit about property taxes and the multitude of levers to pull. It's not as easy as turning the fine-tuned dials to tune into the station. It is a complicated and convoluted system that we've created with property taxes that fund our state government. And at some point, we've got to break the system down completely and rebuild it in a way that actually works. But man, that's going to take some political willpower that we haven't yet seen.
Well, I think one of the proposals that's come forward, and I'm not actually sure off the top of my head who's carrying the bill, I don't remember, but it's been around, and that is to convert local, you know, most property taxes is driven by the local level, and all property tax goes back to the local level. Even the small portion that is collected by the state is ultimately redistributed out to the schools across the state. So one of the things that I think will be a big help in this process is that, you know, moving forward, all local bond issues would be and levies would be in a fixed dollar amount, not in a mill amount
that floats with valuation.
So, right. So if you need, you know, $500,000 for a project, that guarantees that local jurisdiction is only collecting $500,000, just because that millage rate, you know, when they put that bond on 10 years ago, collected $50,000, $100,000 a year, whatever it was, at $500,000 a year. You know, as those valuations goes up, as those mills become worth more money, they're still collecting more money. They didn't stop collecting. Now, in some cases, they do, yeah, and they adjust those down. But in many cases, in many high tax jurisdictions, they do not. And it's one of the issues that we saw that really came to light in the different ways that the communities and local tax jurisdictions handle these issues over the course of this last 2 years in this property tax issue. And you see, right, the difference between the way Missoula and Missoula County handle things versus, say, Yellowstone County or Flathead County.
And it's important, too, to point out one of the differences here in Billings, anyway. Our charter set a mill cap. Like, we can only assess so many mills. Now, those mills, also they float with valuations, but we don't have an unlimited number of mills, and like Bozeman and Missoula do. So we don't get to continue to assess. So that creates some challenges specifically for Billings because of the way that our charter was signed. But we're going to take another quick break here, and then we're going to come back. Here in this front half of the hour, we're going to have Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear. You're listening to Montana Talks.
Country. I'm Michelle Polino. Carrie Underwood will be singing fans into the new year on this year's Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Seacrest. The programming special will return to Times Square in New York City for its 53rd year and Seacrest's 20th year hosting. The show will be sprinkled with country music stars throughout, with Cody Johnson, Thomas Rhett, Blake Shelton, Megan Maroney, and more set to hit the stage from different locations around the country, as well as special performances from Dasha, Hardy, and Ernest. And after the new year, fans will be lining up for the arrival of Kane Brown's fourth studio album, which arrives January 24th. The High Road is chock full of collaborations with Marshmello, Brad Paisley, Jelly Roll, and two songs on the album featuring his wife, Caitlin Brown. Brown will launch the High Road tour next year, kicking off March 13th in San Diego, California. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We are going to take you into January of 2025 with some great content, great guests, great hosts, and, of course, your phone calls. David Noble will be in the house. Scott Aspenlighter in the house as well. So stay tuned to Montana Talks right here on your favorite radio station on through 2024, right into 2025 with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Are you
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Welcome back to the 8 o'clock hour. You've got Jake Eaton and Scott Aspenlighter sitting in for Aaron Flint as he gets some much-deserved time off and time away with his family. We've got a call from John in Bozeman. So let me see if I can get John in Bozeman on without screwing this up.
50-50.
All right, John, you with us?
Yeah. Right on John is what they call me.
Right on John. All right. Yeah, he wrote that. He typed that in there. I didn't know. Caden's right on top of things.
Oh, he is always. You guys are pretty knowledgeable in areas of funding and so on and so forth. I got hit by the flood in Livingston and lost all my prototypes and almost my life like four times. So, in talking about this, you were talking nuclear earlier. We have a buttload of thorium that's in Montana and Idaho. And it's a better nuclear solution. The waste product is far less, and you might even be able to use the waste products from the regular waste dumps in these molten salt reactors. As far as coal goes, and we've been basically running on 100 and 200 year-old technology, and I've advanced it way ahead of this. And so I could transform the coal into those gasifiers and a bunch of other stuff and update their generation so they can generate a lot more. And all of the coal seams that are burning in Montana and throughout the country, I have a way for to actually harness those and create electricity. The wind turbines, I've solved all the problems with them. They're recyclable and they don't run off of airplane wing propeller styles and kills birds and creates nasty sounds that hurts people. I have hydrogen. I've got advanced hydro. It's just after losing all my prototypes, I need to get things expedited and get them on out there. So what would be your guys' Jake too best plan of attack to get these started here in Montana, contacting my buddy Steve Danes or Greg, my buddy Greg Giafore, should I? What would you do to get to help to get these going?
Yeah. Well, thanks for the call, John. So, where John's going, we were talking about all of the above energy and you know the investments that the Department of Energy federally are making on new energy technologies and those types of things are vast and wide. And over the last 4 years, they've primarily been in the space of renewables. They haven't necessarily been in your traditional energy sources. But John, that, you know, starting with the Department of Energy and the congressional delegations where I would go. But
yeah,
let's pivot that conversation into, you know, just all of the above energy approach and what we're seeing and doing here in Montana. You know, we are on the verge of, you know, mothballing the Colstrip power plant at some point in time. Nobody necessarily knows where that's at. They've shut half of it down, like it or not. Big detriment to the state and what we're doing from a resource development standpoint, digging coal out there. But man, we have got to get back to an all of the above approach with energy in our state and get back to exporting power like we're good at.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Montana, it's funny, you know, this kind of every conversation, right, ties back into politics. Or maybe that's just me, right?
That's how we're wound.
Everything. But it wasn't that long ago when you had a Democrat governor, Brian Schweitzer, right, who was an evangelist for coal.
Yeah.
And for Colstrip and for developing the Otter Creek coal tracks and for, you know, helping expediting some of the permitting for the Signal Peak mine up and Roundup. And now all of those Democrats are gone.
Yeah.
Right. You had their last gubernatorial candidate, Ryan Bussey, who is, I mean, as extreme as they come. Right. And these people hate coal. They don't really know why, other than that somebody told them it's bad. And clearly, you know, all you have to do is drive to Colstrip and see that it's nothing but, you know, a toxic, barren wasteland that can't be inhabited by anybody, right? Because that's what it. But oh,
right. That's not actually true.
That's not actually true at all.
Yeah.
And all of the reclaimed areas of the mine, you would actually never even know were mined.
Right. By the way, you've got a school system and a community there that's got almost every amenity you could ever ask for.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And you know where that came from? From the power plant.
From the power plant
and the coal mines.
From the coal mines. You know, it's, you know, the shift in the left to attack particular brands of energy for no reason is really what started the decline in Montana
yeah.
in terms of energy production.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a true story. We're going to take another quick break. Hopefully, we're going to come back here with Speaker of the House Brandon Lear on the back end of this break. But you're listening to Montana Talks.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Of course, they pay higher salaries in places like New York and L.A. It costs so much more to live in those places. You hear those kinds of statements so often that you never question them. But when you examine them more closely, the logic doesn't quite work. Of course, the evidence is clear. Average wages in the bigger cities are higher than Montana, for many jobs at least. But there's nothing automatic about simply paying people higher wages because, say, housing costs or taxes are high. After all, the businesses that are paying those wages don't get extra revenue from their customers simply because the cost of living where they are located is high. People make higher wages in bigger cities because the nature of their jobs is different. They are more specialized. Their responsibilities are broader. Their decisions and actions have more impact. They are paid more because their efforts produce more. That's where the money comes from to pay them more, as it must. There's no other way it could happen. I'm Patrick Markey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Securing America.
The House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party held a hearing earlier this month on the U.S. Defense Industrial Base, where it got harsh warnings from Chris Broz, the former staff director of the Senate Armed Services Committee, who said the U.S. has simply not kept pace.
We increasingly lack the industrial capacity, as the chairman said, to deter and, if necessary, fight and win a great power conflict.
Gross went on to say,
years of war games, including those overseen by this committee, suggest we would run out of critical munitions in less than 1 week of a war with China.
So what to do? Gross says we need to change the types of weapons we're making.
We should ramp investments in entirely new types of military forces, vast numbers of lower cost, hyper-producible, autonomous vehicles and weapons.
Despite his warnings, Gross says the news is not all bad, because when it comes to money, people, and technology,
we have everything we need to win.
Kevin Reston, Fox News.
Getting...
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Right. Welcome back. You don't have Aaron Flint today. You've got Jake Eaton and Scott Aspenlighter filling in on Montana Talks. And we also now have Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear, from Savage, Montana, the eastern side, the great side of our great state. Mr. Speaker, how are you, sir?
Doing well. Yourself?
Doing well. You've got Jake and Scott here to talk a little politics and a little bit of state legislature. But first of all, how's the weather in Savage?
Well, it's a little chillier than it is on the west end of the state. Last Saturday before Christmas, coming back from Helena, and it was 60 degrees in Billings and Bozeman area, and it was about 24 here. So a little bit chillier on this side of the state.
Billings is the great banana belt of Montana. You folks out in the tundra, you know, being a Culbertson kid and a Miles City kid, boy, it takes rough and tumble folks to deal with the winters out east.
Yep, that's for sure. A little hardier country out here.
Well, great. Let's talk about this upcoming legislative session. You'll be the next Speaker of the House here in Montana and taking control of that side of the building. As you go into this next session and having caucused a little bit, what are you seeing as the top priorities that you have going into this next session?
So we've kind of identified, well, there's many areas, but the major areas are going to be property tax and income tax. You know, that's going to be one of the major issues, but a big issue that's fast approaching the urgency of property taxes is judicial reform. And that's going to be, I think, one of the big issues that we dive into this session. And with, you know, in the last month, with the two Supreme Court decisions coming down, whether it's Senate Bill 99 or this held decision that came out 10 days ago, people are really starting, it's starting to click with whether that's legislators or whether that's, you know, just everyday Montanans who are starting to understand what the Supreme Court's doing. That's becoming just as much of an issue as property tax is. We're going to have a heck of a debate over Medicaid expansion. Well, you know, what we want that to look like coming through. Like I said, property tax is going to be a big issue. You know, what do we as the state want to, dive in more into local government? Do we want to stay out of it? You know, how do we, you know, do we want to limit how local governments can spend their money or how fast they can grow? And do we want to, the state spends, you know, a lot, mainly, income tax dollars. Do we want to use income tax dollars to, fill the hole of property taxes in, you know, some local governments?
Sure.
You know, a lot of issues, and them are just a few of the big ones.
Yeah. Well, you picked the scab, so we're gonna bleed a little bit on judicial reform. That's one of Jake's favorite topics, as we talk judicial reform in this wonky, crazy Supreme Court system that we have here in Montana. You know, fortunately,
Jake knows Corey Swanson, the soon-to-be Chief Justice of the Montana Supreme Court. But, you know, as you noted, judicial reform has got to be something that we can do, we tackle. But how do we do it when every time we try to touch the judicial system, our Montana Supreme Court flips it and overrules and overturns it?
Yeah, and I think that we have to keep at it. Look at this session. I mean, all the work that whether, you know, the fellow sitting next to you there, Jake, put in, or everybody across the state did getting Jake, or sorry, not Jake, getting Corey in there. I think we have to show that this Supreme Court is as out of touch with Montana as many times as possible. Let them make these rulings. You know, if we can't, I think one of the big things to get through would be partisan judge races. And I think we can do it this session. I really think we can. You know, I wish we could have got it on as a constitutional initiative on the ballot and let the Montana voters vote on it. That way the Supreme Court couldn't overturn it. If we could,
well, they can't. They've done that before, right? They've ruled that constitutional amendments are unconstitutional.
And not they have. But, yeah. but every time they do something like that, I mean, I think we are at a moment in time in the state of Montana to where the citizens understand. And if we pass a, you know, partisan judge bill and they overturn it, if we tell them we're going to audit the Montana Bar Association, oh, we can't do that. If we're going to do, you know, any of these common sense laws that everyday Montanans support and they go in and overturn, people are starting to see that. And I think that we're at that time to where we're going to start chipping away at this court. And it is the last, it is the last wall that we have to break down in the state of Montana.
You're absolutely right, Mr. Speaker. And I mean, just to give folks who maybe don't know kind of the digest here on the two cases he's talking about. First is Senate Bill 99, which was passed by the legislature, I think, back in 2021.
No, it was 23.
Okay.
Senator Fuller, Senate Bill 99. Yep.
So that one, very radical idea, and it just said, you know, that you cannot give gender changing surgeries or medication to minors.
Yeah, wait till you're 18 years old. You know,
you can do whatever you want when you're 18, right? We're not gonna do this to minors.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you can't buy a pack of cigarettes until you're 18. Now you can't do that until you're 21. You can't
right.
In the military until you're 18. Like, all these major life decisions that we don't allow kids to do until they're 18 years old, but we're going to let them start chopping body parts off when they're, you know, 13. That makes complete sense, correct? Yeah.
Total. And the Montana Supreme Court came back and said no, that somehow, because we have a right to privacy embedded in the Constitution, that now means children can engage in contracts to receive medical care that changes them unalterably for the rest of their life. So they can't enter into a contract to rent a car, take out a loan, get a credit card, any of those things, but they can't enlist in the military, but they can, a 15-year-old can sign a contract to receive medical care to change their gender. I mean, it's just bonkers. Nuts.
Absolutely bonkers.
And yeah. The mental gymnastics that they went through to apply the right to privacy in and of itself in the decision is pretty entertaining. And then the other one, the held case, is the one that was brought by this radical environmental group. They used a bunch of kids as the plaintiffs, one of which was 2 years old. The plaintiff was 2 years old. The state asked to depose the 2 year old. The trial judge denied it. So then the state asked to have the 2 year old dismissed. They said, well, if we can't depose a plaintiff, then you should just dismiss him from the case.
We're not going to do that either.
Judge denied that. Let the 2 year old continue to participate so that, you know, this radical environmental group could have the maximum amount of publicity. And intervene while the lawsuit is going on, the legislature comes in and repeals the law that they were suing over. And so the state says, well, the law's now been dismissed. You should have been repealed. You dismiss the case. And the judge says, no, no, we'll let it proceed anyway, even though this law that you're suing over is no longer on the books.
Yeah. Well, and just to see the radicalness of the Held decision, how do we quantify there is no metric. And that's the problem with whether it's, you know, climate change and us having to have some sort of metric to say that, you know, how do we define a clean and healthy environment for whether it's youth or you and I? How do we define climate change? I mean, we can define these words, but there's no metric. There's no standard to say, well, you can't, Jake Eaton, you can't build this parking lot because the sun is going to shine on this blacktop and it's going to raise the temperature. And well, how do we know that?
And that exactly was where I was going to go. This Held decision doesn't just impact energy, and I think that's the common misconception, right? Well, you know, it's going to help drive us to clean energy. Well, no. It's already being leveraged and was being, you know, tilted at up in the northwest corner of our state as it related to development, like residential development subdivisions and growing our communities. They're using that as a pry bar to try to stop residential construction and the growth of our communities and counties in urbanized and rural areas, saying, hey, you're going to destroy our clean and healthful environment because you're drilling more water wells, you're using more resources. Well, I mean, where is the logical end to this? And that's the problem with the Held decision from the Supreme Court, is this isn't just about energy. This is about stopping development across all sectors as a whole.
This will affect everyday Montanans' life and every Montanan in some way. You know, they talk about the housing shortage. Well, yeah, this is a real great way to solve the housing shortage in the state of Montana, to be able to not build any more houses.
Yeah, make it harder and more expensive to build houses. Yeah, I'm sure that'll bring the price down.
If every general contractor has to go through and do a climate study, what do you think, you know, okay, the houses in western Montana are, you know, to get a family home in Logan costs, you know, $750,000. Do you think it's going to make it cheaper if now they have to do a climate study?
Right.
How is that affecting, you know, affordable housing? They contradict themselves all the time.
Mr. Speaker, we're gonna take a quick break here, and then we're gonna come right back.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Jake Eaton and Scott Aspenwhite are running the show today for Mr. Flint. And we're still on with Speaker of the House here in Montana, Brandon Lear from Savage. So we were talking about judicial reform. I think we have a general concern, as you can probably tell by that conversation, about where our Supreme Court's headed. But we're going to pivot a little bit from judicial reform to some other bills that are coming. And Mr. Speaker, Jake brought up another one from Senator Glimm up in the Flathead regarding reallocation of bed tax funds to offset property tax.
Yep.
So, again, maybe the framework around that a little bit is, you know, the bed tax is collected as a function of tourism, generally speaking.
Yeah, it's a sales tax that applies to hotel rooms, VRBOs, Airbnbs, any accommodation.
Yep, collected, and under Senator Glimm's bill would be, instead of kept and used for things like, you know, propping up spending in tourism and marketing and those types of things, would instead be reallocated to the local governments for property tax relief. Is that generally it?
Yeah, and I haven't read Senator Glimm's bill yet. Senator McGilvery and I were at the Montana Taxpayers Association annual banquet here a month ago, I suppose now, and this had gotten brought up, and kind of what we're hoping to do is, you know, part of that money goes into the promoting tourism in the state of Montana, which doesn't really much help the eastern side of the state, the far eastern side of the state. But half of that money goes to that, or roughly half of that money, and the other half of that money goes into our general fund. And, you know, we're sitting with, let's just say $1 billion surplus coming into this session again. Instead of that money going into our general fund and padding a surplus, let's directly allocate the other half, or more than half of it, into local property tax relief. And I can't say for 100% certain, but some of the numbers that I have seen coming off of this is it would directly impact residents of the state of Montana to the tune of about a $400 a year property tax cut. And so that is real money, to most Montanans. I think there's a lot more we can do too on that end, to cut property taxes.
Yeah, I mean, I think as Scott and I were talking about earlier, this property tax issue is one that it's very complicated. As they say, a lot of ins, a lot of outs, a lot of what have yous.
Absolutely. I don't want to throw our local governments and city council members, county commissioners under the bus. But some of this has to work towards them too. I mean, we have to work together with the local government to figure out ways that we can cut, because somebody can say, well, let's cut. Let's cut law enforcement. Well, the other person says, no, I like law enforcement. Okay, well, let's cut fire. Well, no, we can't cut fire. So we got to figure out the ways to where, we can work with the local government to say, okay, where areas that we can see that we can cut on this. And the thing we also got to remember too is that the state government, we run purely on income tax. There's very little property tax dollars that the state spends. So I'd like to keep cutting income tax too, because that's the way we starve the beast of the state government. So I think we want to work on that end too, for sure, and be able to, cut state government in a meaningful way too. And that's going to benefit everybody across the board also.
Well, and I think, this proposal from Senator Glenn is as well on the way to do that. You just look at the number of people in state government who do nothing but supervise the contracts of these advertising agencies that have the contract to spend these bed tax dollars. And I mean, you're probably talking across the tourism districts and the Department of Commerce and some of these other, I mean, you're probably talking about 12 people that don't do anything other than that. I mean, it's really pretty silly when you talk about
And let me tell you what, I'm pretty sure, I know the show just ended here, but I'm pretty sure Yellowstone did, benefited just as much, or did just as much benefit as the millions upon millions of dollars in tourism bed tax dollars that were spent, and it did it for free.
Bill Foley, who owns Whitefish Mountain and the Las Vegas Knights and all kinds of other things, he's a really nice guy. I don't think he needs the state of Montana advertising for him to get people to come to Whitefish, right? Like, he's going to take care of that. The folks in Big Sky are going to make sure that people are coming to ski at their resort.
People know where Glacier National Park is. Now, right. They may not know where Sydney, Montana is and come paddle fishing, but, I mean, let's be honest, sometimes I want them people to stay out of Eastern Montana.
Yeah, we're not driving a lot of tourists into Makoshka, I don't think, from, our out-of-state promotion efforts.
No, and I think that's the struggle for people on the eastern side of the state is, we talk about all these things and tourism dollars and all the spend that we have on trying to drive tourism, but the reality is we don't see that revenue in eastern Montana. And
we have about an 8 to 10 week window in hunting season. And that is where eastern Montana collects most of its tourism dollars from, is during hunting season. Nobody wants to come out here and see, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, but nobody wants to come out and see an area where you can stand on a pop can and see your dog run away for 3 days. I mean, we love it, but we love it because, it's very remote. It's very, there's just not many people out here. It takes a different breed of people to live out here than it does, most other places.
And I mean, be careful. We're all Eastern Montanans here. Jake oftentimes refers to Miles City as the historical, cultural, and economic hub of Eastern Montana, being a Miles City kid.
And I can agree with that. And that goes back all the way back to the, you know, homestead days, and guys were running cattle up here, and Miles City was the economic hub of the state of Montana for quite a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, we all love where we came from. We all love and fight hard for Eastern Montana. But these tax bills are a prime example of legislation out here where we have less representation because we've got less population. But we generally see the short end of the stick. I mean, you can look at that on school funding and oil revenues and those types of things that have happened over the last 10 to 12 years in the legislature. Eastern Montana, generally speaking, gets the short end of the stick on some of this stuff.
Well, that goes into...
We represent roughly a third of the state, and we have 10% of the representation.
Right.
And I'm talking Billings East.
Yeah.
That goes into bed tax dollars, too. Right? The majority of the bed tax dollars are not paid by out-of-state tourists. The majority of that... The majority of that money is generated by Montanans staying in Montana. You know, when you go...
Yeah.
On, you know, the basketball tournament or the volleyball tournament or the football game and stay overnight or, you know, whatever it is. We're generating that money from Montanans by and large.
Yeah.
I bet you I've paid $1,000 into the bed tax fund, into the tourism fund, just by the trips I've had to take to Helena, you know. So I mean, and I'm not benefiting from any of that, you know, in tourism or seeing any gain from that, you know, monetarily in my day-to-day life.
Right. As we look at some of this tax reform stuff, is there anything particularly that catches your eye that you're keeping close eye on, good or bad, with respect to some property tax reform bills? I know that there are a number of them coming through.
Yeah, and I don't think we've seen the end of them. You know, I think a lot of them are still in the drafting stage. You know, we have the governor's homestead, comstead, eggstead bill that'll be coming down. I think that moves the needle for you know, residents of the state of Montana with property tax. You know, I mean, a lot of it's just a shifting cost. And with Glenn's bill, that's not shifting cost. That's actually going to decrease. We're not shifting it from, you know, residential to commercial or ag to residential. That, you know, Glenn's is going to be a pure cut. And with that homestead, comstead, eggstead bill, we are shifting it to, you know, out-of-state second homeowners. And so there'll be a, you know, good debate on that. We'll see how, you know, it comes out of the House and, you know, what the Senate does to it, you know, when it comes out and gets to the governor's. You know, they're proposing roughly an $850 million income tax cut, trying to cut it by 1 point. Like I said, that I think any way we can cut the taxes going to the state government is never a bad thing. I mean, it's always, you know, a good day when we can, you know, cut the amount of money going to Helena.
Mr. Speaker, do you got time to come back for one more segment with us after the break?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Montana Talks with Speaker Brandon Lear.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Vivek Ramaswamy will join us. I love what he and Elon Musk are doing. By the way, they're staying outside of the government. And like the Grace Commission that Ronald Reagan formed in the 1980s, the best business, brightest business minds in the country, they're going to come up with ways to run government more like a business. In other words, for anybody that has ever wanted limited government and more freedom, this is probably the only opportunity that we will have in our lifetime to get rid of waste and fraud and abuse. And they're talking about cutting $2 trillion. And I think they're serious as hell, and I think it will happen as long as Republican lawmakers go along with what their recommendations are. Those recommendations are expected on July 4th of 2026.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, if you ever worry about the safety of your home, your family, there's no better time to act right now with Simply Safe Home Security. Now, one listener writes, quote,
Because I had Simply Safe, the man who burglarized my home is now spending 6 years in a New York prison. And right now, you, my listeners, get 50% off any new Simply Safe security system just by going to simplysafe.com/Hannity. Now, Simply Safe has the technology to stop criminals from even entering your home in the first place with their exclusive Active Guard outdoor protection. Live agents keep watch outside your property 24/7. You get professional monitoring plans starting about $1 a day. Now, Simply Safe is extending their massive Black Friday deal just for you, my listeners. This week, you get up to 50% off any new system with a select professional monitoring plan. It's the system I have. You'll love it. Just go to simplysafe.com/Hannity. That's simplysafe.com/Hannity because there's no safe like Simply Safe.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Of course they pay higher salaries in places like New York and L.A. It costs so much more to live in those places. You hear those kinds of statements so often that you never question them. But when you examine them more closely, the logic doesn't quite work. Of course, the evidence is clear. Average wages in the bigger cities are higher than Montana, for many jobs at least. But there's nothing automatic about simply paying people higher wages because, say, housing costs or taxes are high. After all, the business that are paying those wages don't get extra revenue from their customers simply because the cost of living where they are located is high. People make higher wages in bigger cities because the nature of their jobs is different. They are more specialized. Their responsibilities are broader. Their decisions and actions have more impact. They are paid more because their efforts produce more. That's where the money comes from to pay them more, as it must. There's no other way it could happen. I'm Patrick Markey.
Visit izervay.com. That's IZERVAY.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Right. Welcome back. We still have on the line Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear from Savage, Montana. Mr. Speaker, thanks for hanging in for this last segment of the hour. We kicked up all kinds of calls here. One from our old friend, Commissioner now, Randy Brodell, used to be Representative Brodell from up in the Flathead. And we're going to take Commissioner Brodell's call here after the top of the hour. Jake and I wanted to finish off this last segment with you talking about a couple more things. But one of the things I think is important to note is, as you noted, we have a third of the landmass and 10% of the representation in Helena. However, it's worth noting that the Speaker of the House and leadership in the House and the Senate, at least in the last 15 years, a lot of it has come from Eastern Montana. Quite a bit. You coming from Savage, you know, our friend Attorney General Austin Knutson was a two-term speaker out of Culbertson. You've got some leadership here out of Billings with some of the senators and representatives. Eastern Montana really steps up to the plate.
On the Senate side, you have Ken Bogner from Miles City, Senate Pro Tem, last two sessions. Yep.
So, you know, we have provided great leadership out of Eastern Montana, and I think it's worth noting that has been the case consistently over the last decade and a half in both sides of the House. So I appreciate you stepping up to the plate and look forward to your leadership in the House this next session. But, you know, let's talk about some of the non-tax bills that you're excited to see come forward. I mean, we're going to have everything from sports betting to DraftKings to, we always get some goofy, crazy stuff around energy and policy that way. You know, what are some of the things that you're seeing, you know, maybe off of the judicial and off of the tax thing that are going to be coming down the pipe for people to know about?
Yeah, and, you know, just to hit it off with the judicial side of things, we're going to see a lot of, you know, in the House, we control the purse strings, and, you know, we're going to see a lot of audits of these different, you know, whether it's whether it's the Judicial Standards Commission or whether it's, you know, the Supreme Court budget itself, you know, whether it's the Montana Bar Association. We're seeing some audits of some different entities there, and I think that, you know, that's one of the powers we hold, and that's one of the ways we can flex our muscle as the House is to do just that. Partisan judge races, like we talked about before, I think is going to be a huge, if we can get it through, it'll be huge. You talked about, raising the limit on sports betting. We've had conversations about that, you know, before in the last two sessions I've served in 21 and 23, and it's coming back again.
Yep.
I know there's some, you know, people out there with some concerns that, you know, well, gambling is an addiction and we don't want to, you know, give addicts any more means to, you know, hurt themselves as we can. And so we're going to have to, you know, shepherd that through and, see where that debate goes. On the social side of things, we're going to see a pile of bills, whether it's dealing with immigration, whether it's dealing with this transgender phenomenon, whether it's, you know, just a plethora of social issues that come down, men and women's bathrooms, men and women's sports, where, you know, all that stuff has been brought before, but it's going to be brought
front and center. Well, again, as we're wrapping up the hour here, and Mr. Speaker, we really appreciate you taking the time to jump on and talk with us across the state about what's coming down the pipe. Have a Merry Christmas, and we look forward to seeing you down in Helena.
Sounds good. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. With that, that's Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear, and this is Montana Talks.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We are going to take you into January of 2025 with some great content, great guests, great hosts, and of course, your phone calls. David Noble will be in the house. Scott Aspenlighter in the house as well. So stay tuned to Montana Talks right here on your favorite radio station on through 2024, right into 2025 with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana.